You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. The lines between politicians and celebrities continue to blur as billionaire real estate mogul and reality TV star Donald Trump continues to lead the field of Republican presidential candidates.
We have seen this before with former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, and before that, silver screen actor turned president Ronald Reagan.
I'm telling the truth, Doc. You gotta believe me.
Then tell me, future boy. Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan? The actor? Then who's vice president? Jerry Lewis?
That clip from the film Back to the Future was from 1985. Here we are today seeing more and more celebrities crossing over into the world of politics.
Joining us now to discuss this phenomenon is Daryl West. He's vice president and director of governance studies at the Brookings Institution and co-author of Celebrity Politics. Daryl, welcome to Central Time.
Nice to be with you, Veronica.
Well, why are some voters attracted to celebrity candidates?
People like celebrity candidates because they come from outside the political world, so voters are very cynical about queer politicians, think they've spent a lifetime doing deals. And so if someone has come from a non-political world, they often have great credibility. They are seen as white knights who can help clean up the process.
And does that mean there's this perception out there, too, especially if they come with their own full-to-the-brim bank account, like, say, Donald Trump, that people have the perception that they have the money they need. They're not susceptible to being bought by outside interests.
Exactly. Celebrities who are rich have that additional advantage of being seen as too rich to be bought. And in Trump's case, we've actually heard him make that argument. That's not uncommon. Rich business people who run for office often make that argument. They understand voters are cynical about career politicians, and so they see this as one of their prime virtues from the standpoint of public opinion.
Now, you've said that celebrities need politicians and that politicians also need celebrities. How come that is, and what's changed? It hasn't always been the case.
They need each other because each has a different kind of credibility. So politicians like to hang out with celebrities because Hollywood stars and athletes have credibility with a non-political crowd, people who are not conventionally involved in politics. So if you want to reach non-voters, celebrities are a great way to help you do that.
Now, I suppose a tendency is to be maybe a little alarmed about the trend of celebrities in politics. They may not have the depth of knowledge about certain issues that a politician may have based on their own background. But is it necessarily the way that that works? Is there a dumbing down of politics because of celebrities, or are there some benefits there too?
I mean, commentators often criticize these types of candidates by saying they don't know anything about the issues, they lack the depth of substance that we need in any type of major politicalship role. But there actually isn't a lot of evidence that voters care about this. I mean, for example, you mentioned the case of Ronald Reagan, and when he ran both as governor of California and then later as president, people said, well, the guy doesn't know enough to be a president. But voters felt that he had the right values. They felt that he had the judgment and leadership and vision that we expect of major political leaders. So those types of candidates often are not penalized for a so-called lack of knowledge.
Now, what about the way our culture seems to have changed? It seems as though everyone in America is maybe just one step away, one public disaster away from having their own reality TV show. What's changed in the culture at large?
Well, we certainly do see major changes in the culture, and the patterns of news coverage reflect this. There are many, what I call in my book, event celebrities, ordinary people who are cast into the public eye because they are involved in some event. It could be a natural disaster. It could be a horrific shooting. It could they could just be a witness to some dramatic event that takes place, and they can become celebrities in their own right. Some of these individuals become such big celebrities that they're able to run for office and do well themselves.
Well, we're talking right now with Daryl West, Vice President and Director of Governance Studies at the Brookings Institution and co-author of the book Celebrity Politics. Let's turn to Donald Trump again now. Now, here is a celebrity with his own reality TV show, not to mention his background as a real estate magnate. He had all that going for him before he jumped into politics.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account
only Rosie several... O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't. For the record, it was well beyond Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Your Twitter account has several disparaging comments about women's looks.
I think the big problem this country has is being politically correct.
Now, there's Donald Trump, a clip from the first debate there, and he is the outsider clearly coming into this debate. How did that play out to you, especially in that clip and the way he conducts himself on the national stage?
Well, if you just look at the public opinion polls, Trump did very well. You know, his numbers actually went up after that debate. A lot of people were very unhappy with him on that exchange and feel like he was demeaning women. But yet, within the GOP electorate, he was able to do well. And I think what that experience shows is what a lot of these celebrity politicians have. Because of their celebrity status, they're used to dealing with the news media. And so they're often very strong salespeople. They're the master of the comeback. They're quick on their feet. And so, you know, when they're in a debate setting or if they're giving speeches, they know how to present themselves to ordinary people. They know how to create that resonance that allows people to want to support them.
Now, the Trump candidacy has clearly touched a nerve with a lot of people who are interested in seeing an outsider come in with business, real-world experience. Is there any evidence that that sort of experience does translate to a lot of success and be once you're in office and being an effective policymaker?
Not really. I mean, these types of individuals often do well at election time because they know how to raise money or they have their own money. They're very good at dealing with the media. They can relate well to ordinary people. But if you actually look at the cases of those who make it into office, business people are used to essentially issuing orders and having their subordinates carry them out. That clearly is not something that takes place in the political world. You know, if you're president, you can make speeches, you can issue policy proclamations, you can give orders of things that you would like to have happen. Members of Congress aren't going to do it, especially in this highly polarized era. So, you know, if by some chance Donald Trump becomes President Trump, he, of course, is going to confront a very different reality and a Congress that is not going to do the things that he promised to do.
Now, one thing that's hard to deny when you look at a Trump candidacy is that it's more entertaining because Donald Trump is there. I mean, he does tend to suck up a lot of the attention in the room from the other candidates. But as a whole, is it maybe a plus for politics that suddenly it's more of a spectacle? It's more entertaining to watch.
I mean, it could be a plus from the standpoint of Democratic politics if a entertainer like Trump is able to draw new voters into the process, just on the idea that the more people who participate, the better off we are. But, you know, Trump is entertaining, you know, in a now 16-person candidate field. He's able to clearly distinguish himself from the rest of the field. You know, they are mostly politicians, with exception of Ben Carson and Ms. Fiorina. So he is able to kind of distinguish himself in a way that's more entertaining, that resonates with voters, and clearly distinguishes himself from all the other career politicians.
Now, we have seen a lot of success with other candidates with the same similar profile. We've seen Ronald Reagan, we've seen Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura. Does that mean that this celebrity allure can last all the way through Election Day, or does there come a certain point where the luster comes off and voters want someone with a little more solid credentials politically behind them?
It certainly can last quite a while, and all of the individuals that you named ultimately won the election and went on to hold a major executive office. But there are some risks of these types of candidates. Voters do, although they don't expect these individuals to be policy experts, there is a threshold of knowledgeability that we expect of our leaders. So if you're a celebrity, it might be a low bar that you have to pass, but there is some knowledge base that is required. So you know, recently we had a radio talk show host basically give Trump a pop quiz on foreign policy that Trump failed miserably. And so that's something he has to worry about. That will probably encourage other either debate moderators or reporters to ask him detailed policy questions. He does have to demonstrate enough knowledge to convince voters he can do the job.
Now, some people have actually called President Obama our first real celebrity president, living in that age of culture as we do now. Here's a clip of the president trading barbs with the host of the web series Between Two Ferns.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. I'm your host, Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is President Barack Obama.
Good to be with you, Zach.
You know what I would do if I were president, Mr. President? I would make same-sex divorce illegal, then see how bad they want it.
I think that's why you're not president. And that's a good thing.
Sort of an absurd clip to listen to there. And this is the sort of the world that presidential candidates seem to have to be comfortable moving in now, though. But does it befit a commander-in-chief to put himself in a situation like that? Does it make him more accessible?
Well, that's an interesting clip because it shows Obama clearly being not very comfortable in that type of an environment. You know, it seemed to be a situation where some media advisor said, hey, you should go on this cable show. There's a youth audience. It's a good way to make yourself more accessible to people. Obama agreed to do it, but it was a very awkward interview, and it wasn't clear that Obama really enjoyed the experience. And so, you know, all of our current politicians face a new media environment. You know, there are more channels, more outlets, more demographic niches who need to be reached. And it's difficult to navigate that type of world, but it's like Obama's not the first person to do it. I remember in 92, Bill Clinton went on Arsenio Hall and played the saxophone, and at that time, that was a little scandalous. It's like, you know, is a candidate really lowering himself to appear on that type of purely entertainment show? But, you know, when you look at the last two decades, it's like all politicians now are going on these kind of shows.
We're talking right now with Darrell West, Vice President and Director of Governance Studies at the Brookings Institution and co-author of the book Celebrity Politics.
And you can join in now at 800-642-1234. Do you think that celebrity status helps or hurts a candidate? Maybe it's a good thing to have outsider celebrities run for office instead of career politicians. What does it take for someone from outside that political world to get taken seriously in the political world? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking to Darrell West, Vice President and Director of Governance Studies at the Brookings Institution and co-author of the book Celebrity Politics. We've been talking about the blurred lines between celebrity culture and politics.
From Ronald Reagan to Arnold Schwarzenegger, Al Franken too. Yes, Donald Trump, what do you think? Are you glad that Donald Trump is in the presidential race? Do you think he's bringing something there, making it more interesting, bringing issues to the table? Do you want to see him elected, or do you see him as a pop culture icon, not so much a politician? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you could post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our first caller, Michael in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I guess my comment is sort of more specific than general celebrity, though I don't think that it's a good thing that Donald Trump is getting so much press in the race, and I think it's sort of shameful of the people responding to him. But more specifically, actually, the Between the Two Ferns show with Zach Galifianakis as the host is actually meant to be framed as sort of this awkward, sort of standoffish environment between Zach Galifianakis as the host and his guest. So I would say that I feel that the president was rather successful with his appearance there in adapting to the environment, and I think that President Obama has really comported himself very well and adeptly, especially in appealing to the youth, kind of exemplified through his little video that he released on YouTube where it shows him trying to dunk a cookie in a glass of milk, and the cookie's too big, and then he just shakes his head and says, "Thanks, Obama." So, yeah, that's my main point, really.
So the things you described are entertaining, but do you, Michael, want to see a president, a sitting president of the United States, awkwardly conversing with Zach Galifianakis, or does that somehow diminish the dignity of the office, do you think?
You know, at this point, I guess I'm a little biased. I am a fan of President Obama. I think overall, at this point in his presidency, he's in his second term, and, you know, he's sort of shown a definite tendency towards a little bit of self-deprecating humor and that sort of thing sometimes. So I don't think it's not an international appearance that he's making. So I don't think there's really any harm. I'm sorry, my kids are loud. I don't think there's really any harm in him making a small appearance on a show like that at this point.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your thoughts, Michael. Appreciate that. And there's Michael Darrell appreciating the president going on these programs, putting himself in these entertaining situations. Maybe it gives him another viewpoint of the president. But do you think that there's any danger to this, that if voters get too accustomed to seeing presidents in these sorts of scenarios, someone else comes along with fabulous credentials but a little less going for them in the cool department and the entertainment savvy department, and then they don't get the credit they deserve?
I mean, I think that is the risk of those types of shows. Obama actually has done very well. You know, he often appears at the Washington Correspondents' Dinner, has a comedy monologue, and is amazingly funny in a lot of those types of settings. And Michael is right that, you know, through appearances on the Two Ferns show, you know, he is able to reach a young audience, and he's been one of the most successful of our current national leaders in engaging young people in politics, which clearly is good. But it does create problems for everybody else. You know, Hillary Clinton tries to do stuff like that. Jeb Bush tries to do stuff like that. It almost always falls flat. So there can be politicians who are very knowledgeable and very substantive, but who just simply cannot navigate this new media terrain.
And we're going to go next to Arlene, who joins us from Milwaukee. Hi, Arlene.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just happened to be listening. As far as the celebrity status goes, I personally, in the past, would have been a little cautious in that regard. Right now, I no longer feel that way, and the fact that one is in the media all the time, no matter how, isn't the main thing. It's what they're able to do for the country and around the globe. We're living in a very dangerous time. It's getting worse than ever, and for a variety of reasons that I really won't mention on the phone right now. But Donald Trump really does say what so many others are cautious about saying, for the obvious reasons. I think we need that kind of a person. And my opinion about him is that were he to be elected, I do believe he's the kind of person who would consider it important enough, aside from his personal status, that he would do his very best. I think he's a quick learner, and he would have enough sense to do the right thing at the right time for the right reason. And I think we're off track when we continue to talk about actors and funny and whatever it is.
Well, Arlene, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Donald Trump's his facility with the media, given his long time spent there on a reality TV show, do you think that informs the way he appears on camera and the way he conducts himself in a way that another candidate might not have that same sort of background and might appear completely differently? Do you think it informs it at all?
If it I didn't understand what you asked. If it what?
Does it influence the way that he comes off on stage?
It could, but I really feel that he wants to be as honest as possible in the end. And he does say what he could do or would do, and there are many who may be able to do something but don't say what they could or would do. I don't think it matters anymore what they do or don't say.
Arlene, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your points of view there. And Daryl, what about that? She says it's not really the celebrity stuff that's pushing Donald Trump. It's the fact that he seems decisive on a national stage.
Well, certainly the people who are supporting him like his leadership skills. They like what he's saying. He's articulating viewpoints that often have not been expressed, but, you know, clearly there is an audience for that. And Arlene is also right. Trump is completely comfortable in front of a camera, and so that gives him a kind of authenticity that many of the other candidates lack, and I think that's one of the reasons he's doing well. But on her other point that, you know, the critical aspect of this election is what are these individuals going to do for the country and how are they going to deal with this chaotic situation that exists in many places around the world? I think with Trump, everybody is still waiting to hear that. You know, he has nice slogans, let's make America great again, but we don't know what he's going to do. We don't know very much about his economic policy. We know very little about his foreign policy.
And thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate that. That was Darrell West, Vice President and Director of Governance Studies at the Brookings Institution.